when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yo guys, welcome to the last lap.
Don't forget to drop a lovely juicy 5-star rating if you're watching an Apple Podcast or Spotify.
Hope you enjoy and let's get into it.
Welcome back to the Last Lap Podcast, everyone. From me, Tomo, from him, Minton. You might get some barks and woofs today. How you doing, mate? Better insight than Niren, anyway.
Oh, wow.
Surely.
Yeah. He's got good analysis, to be fair, isn't he? He's just a little bit like stage fright at the moment.
He's a big Hamilton fan.
Oh, nice.
That's like one of his trigger words.
He's got that dog in him.
He's got that dog in him. Yeah, absolutely. As is today's guest. How does?
By the way, can I just say, I can't believe you were leaving Minton Bear like that on camera as well. I mean,
that's, we might have to pixelate that. I might have to get the little thing covered up.
All right. No, listen, he's a good boy. Are you going to walk on the desk? Maybe he will.
I want to see his will knowledge. I'm doing good, though. Looking forward to this.
How's your little dog, Kimmy, by the way? He's named after
Kimmy Raikkonen. That was my idea, by the way. I won with that. That was a brilliant. Although everyone always thinks it's a girl because no one gets that. Kimmy can also be like a man's name as well.
When he got his haircut,
he was like, oh my God, oh, she's so great. I was like, no, to him.
If you're watching on audio only platforms, you won't be able to see Minton, I'm afraid. But never mind.
That's why you tune on YouTube, like and subscribe.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That.
5 stars, Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. Probably on like LinkedIn or something as well. But I don't know.
MySpace, all those vibes.
Yeah, all them.
Niren, before we get into it, I want to ask about your latest Quadrant video.
Yeah, right.
If anyone hasn't seen it, it's explain to the audience watching what you put yourself through on that.
Yeah, day. I'll be honest with you, lads. Out of context, this is going to sound absolutely crazy, but I did eat a testicle.
You actually ate the testicle?
Yeah, I did have to eat that. It was
filling up. Did it stay down?
It did. I don't know what that means.
So it passed
really
all the way through then?
Yep, yeah. So
it was. You were shitting balls.
You know he had that one lined up all night.
He did.
He was thinking about it last night. Like, oh,
he
I'm going to get that
question with that in mind.
You give me too much credit, boys.
Yeah, no, honestly, yeah, I did have to. Yeah, I also had to eat like an egg that was like a 1,000-year egg or whatever, but it wasn't actually 1,000 years old. I mean, unless it was a dinosaur egg. It did look like that, to be honest.
Did Lando end up eating anything?
No, he was just a host.
How did he get out of that?
I know.
To be fair, he is CEO, so I guess he
Well, also, if we gave him an egg that was like from 64 BC and he got ill, like it's game over.
Yeah, true. But like even like hot sauce?
Lando, we will get you to do the eating stuff next time. Yeah, we're going to get you eating.
The questions just weren't spicy enough, you know. I should have been there to put the heat on him.
True.
And then he would have eaten everything.
Fact. We'll get you on. When we actually get him to eat the stuff, we'll get you on.
Get a heart rate machine on.
Yeah.
Wild ass to grill him.
160 beats per minute.
To be fair, no, I remember you did didn't Quadra do a video with him eating hot sauce and he like can't handle any.
Yeah, he cannot. Yeah, he was drinking milk by like the gallon. Like he was
on brand.
Ill the next day.
Yes. True, very on brand.
Yeah, true, actually. Very true.
In the meantime, how are we filling our 3-week break we've got at the minute?
Yeah, I know. It was meant to be China, wasn't it, in this space?
It was.
Boy, it's kind of.
I tweeted about an hour after Australia, like, oh, when's the next race? I miss it already.
Yeah, we should have just had an impromptu Grand Prix, I reckon.
I think they should have just made it happen, like,
just as the car park.
Just wherever everyone is, just link
M25.
Up.
Motorsport Valley, everyone, like, 7 of the teams are really close together. So.
Yeah, just bring the cars. We'll just do
what? Milton Keynes Daytona car track, do you know what I mean? Just get them down there.
Milton Keynes Grand Prix. What? Do you know what I mean? Like, the world needs that. I was reading an article. It was one of the team principals was talking about how this should actually be the norm, having like an extended break after three races. Have a guess which team principal it was. Who's got a vested interest right now in there being quite a long break between this race and...
Was it Zach Brown?
I mean, who's shit?
No.
Freddy Vasseur.
Think a bit deeper. Who had a really expensive time in Australia?
Oh, Alpine.
Wow. Yeah.
Otmar Szafnauer. I was like, coming up.
But they need to patch those French mobiles up, you know what I mean? So, yeah. But the thing is, I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it. It's like three races. We're three races into the season, and all of a sudden it's like a weird kind of summer break. Exactly. Yeah. It's obviously just a situation of things in China, but they should have found a race like Mugello. Do you know what I mean? I would have loved to have Mugello back on the calendar, but
I'm surprised because like loses momentum, don't you, a little bit when you've had the first three Grand Prix of the season actually, you know, pretty decent, and it's just like, oh, okay, right, cool, see you.
And the amount like Stefano's been mouthing off about, oh, we could have 30 Grand Prix, like...
He is waffling,
okay, well, there's
mate.
A space. Like, I don't understand why they didn't find a way.
Do you know that Pep Guardiola
it?
Meme? I'm going to be there. Literally any race there. On the planet with Stefano Domenicali, I'm going to be there no matter what. That is literally him.
We'll be there.
No, exactly.
I think it's one of them that, yeah, hopefully we won't get this going forward, but it will be 24 races every season from next season onwards. Like, I think that's...
Yeah, and there's enough in the Concorde agreement for 25. You know, he's...
Oh, really? Is it 25?
Yeah, yeah. There's enough in the Concorde agreement for 25. So another race in America. I'm sure they could squeeze one in somewhere.
Where would it be? California.
I think they're looking for South Africa. They're looking to,
yeah, come on.
They want to get there for sure. And I think the circuit, there was some news about the circuit just being like homologized at the moment.
Yeah.
But I'd love to have have a race in South Africa. That'd be amazing. But just to complete kind of all of the continents, Formula One is a global sport. We have so many races in Europe, and there is a lot of like European elitism about all of the tracks.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, we can't expand, but there's not...
Carl Armin's got history in F1.
Like, exactly, yeah. There.
Yeah,
I think back in like the early 90s was like the last time, but yeah, it's definitely, especially now with the sport growing even more, so there's definitely room, I think, for 25, but it just makes the season even more packed. I mean, how did you guys feel at the end of last year? That was 22 races, I forget now, because I think Russia was cancelled, wasn't it?
I think it was 20, like it was 22, because there was 2 11 halves, yeah, definitely.
But how did you feel by the end of that season? Were you like, oh, I can't wait for the next one, or were you like, okay, it's time to take a break?
That's a good point, actually. I think because of last
year, we've got
a
unique perspective, haven't we, because we work in it,
yeah,
well.
True, so you do sort of have that added, you know, planning and filming for it and stuff, which might take it out of you a bit more, but I don't know. I think last year I was kind of like wanting a little bit more just because I felt like we didn't get a title race at all, so I was just kind of like,
it was like over by like mid-season, it was like done.
It felt like the season was kind of just a wrap anyway, so yeah, I don't know.
I think if you followed the sport casually, then you know, I think adding more races is always going to have more value.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as like too much football if you're into football. Like, yeah, there's always football and all the time.
Yeah.
Although from like a content creator's point of view, like both know when it was the off season, it was dead.
Yeah.
I was just like, get this season back ASAP, and everything's already gone out, which I was like buzzing about.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel. Although there are talks of format changes already, and we've heard, it's not been confirmed, but like very legit sources have been talking about how the sprint weekend is going to slightly change. And I think, you know, I mean, we've got six this year. Mm-hmm. It was meant to be a quarter of all races, obviously, China taken away. But what do we think of what's been suggested? Because basically the idea is that it's the same as it is currently, but there's no FP2 on a Saturday morning. There is qualifying specifically for the sprint race.
Yeah, so the Saturday is almost like it's a sprint day, full stop, on Saturday.
Sprint week, yeah.
Exactly. Sunday, you have the qualifying for the sprint and the sprint all on Saturday. I mean, I'm a big fan of it. I was never one of those, because when sprints were first announced, there was a lot of people that went both ways. They either hated it or they loved it. I was one of those that I always gave it a go. I don't mind Formula One going in a different direction, trying something new. And you know, whether you love it or you hate it, like the sprints do add less practice to the top teams. And that's when we see a bit more chaos. Like even last year, when you look at the sprints, I mean, Sao Paulo kind of delivered, you know, that was a great
and the one, race so. Delivered after as well. Cause I think, I remember obviously Kevin Magnussen got that pole and it was like, ah, oh, well, we're just going to get sort of the natural order of things filtering through. But then the actual race was sick as well.
And he was able to get points as well. Cause that was the big thing. Haas just wanted a clean kind of sprint to get like, cause I think it's the top six that get points in the sprint, or the top eight, I forget.
I think it's eight.
The top eight.
I think it's top eight.
And they were just hanging on to the points. So there was even a bit of kind of like a bit of intrigue there. So I think the sprint actually has added something to the calendar. I don't think it's something that I'd want for every single race, because then you'd have to look at, you've got to give the teams a bit more money then, because, you know, if you're going to put even more, you know, even more races, and then if all of them were sprints, like, that's a lot of chaos. So I think about 6 or 7, maybe a third of the year max is about right. But I'm a big fan so far.
I'm interested by, like, sort of the dynamic of how hard drivers are going to try now in a sprint. Because I feel like there was the whole element of, if you retire from the sprint, for example, you're at the back for the actual Grand Prix. If you've got separate qualifying now for sprint and then for the race, are we going to see drivers trying the audacious moves a little bit more in the sprint because they don't have to worry about the grid for the race?
Yeah, I mean, look, people were questioning when we brought the sprint in, oh yeah, how much are drivers going to risk, because what's the benefit? And I don't think these drivers, like, when they're racing, they're racing. I mean, we saw, I think Fernando Alonso, I remember, at Silverstone.
The first ever. So this was a big question. Going into the first ever sprint, I was actually there, which was amazing, you know, in 2021 at Silverstone. I mean, we were there as well. And so to see it live was amazing. And there was that big question, are drivers really going to go for it? I mean, it's the first one. Maybe they'll take it back. Fernando Alonso did not hold back.
Didn't he make up like three places
that
right at the start?
That first lap was unbelievable. Yeah. And that kind of, I think, set the tone, because that was a season where there was a lot on the line for all of the teams. So I think that the drivers don't hold back. It's in their nature to just go for it. You know what I mean? Like, they don't know too much to hold back. So I think it's going to be exciting.
I mean, we see drivers scrapping for P13, P14 at the minute, which literally offers you nothing. Like, you don't get anything. Like, there's only downside, really. But the drivers are going to race. I mean, think how hard they race for P10.
Yeah.
1 point. Which is the same as what you get for fastest lap if you finish in top 10. So I don't think, I'm not worried about that. And again, I think inevitably the whole calendar will be sprint races. I think
really? Just,
yeah.
Eventually
it will. Yeah. Of course. Like the you look at how many more people, I mean, I think, you know, even us as like diehard F1 fans, like on a Friday, will I always watch practice? I'll try and catch the start of FP1.
I'm that guy. I woke up at like 2 o'clock in the morning to watch FP1.
And you're part of the like less than 1%. That's the thing. Yeah. Like most people won't watch a Friday.
Yeah, I'll watch the highlights majority. On YouTube. Get me, I'll just sit down and go, all right, cool, let me see the order.
Like, didn't you turn up the race off like a night out just because it was like close enough? Like,
yes, that did happen. That was the last live show.
Top quality.
Yeah,
of course. But that's the thing. It's like, ultimately, the numbers are higher on a Friday when it's a sprint weekend because there's competitive running, because there's qualifying.
Mm.
So it's going to happen. It will be gradually, you know, drip fed. Now we've got 6 races, then it might be 8 next year.
Half
then maybe
calendar,
10.
You know.
Yeah,
will get there. But again, like,
then it'll be 30 Grand Prix, and then we'll have 30 sprint weekends.
The sports, and look, obviously Liberty, you know, I'm quite happy with sprint races. Like I'm quite happy with them as a concept. I can accept that. Does that mean I endorse every single decision Liberty are going to make? No, because they are prioritized with maximizing shareholder profits. Because what's the F1 stock hashtag? Is it F wonk or something?
F wonk.
Yeah, I think
wonk.
I think that's what it's called. F-W-O-N-K. I think that's what it's called.
F wonk.
Formula wonk. It sounds crazy.
I think that's what it's called. But the stonks are up, mate.
Formula stonk, bro.
I need to make a t-shirt of that. Like, copyright Aldas.
Yeah. All right, good.
F wonk.
That's on record.
Maybe it's not called that. I think it's called that. But no, I'm open to it. I'm open to seeing him do something different.
The only thing I'm not open to that you've talked about constantly on Twitter, one shot quali.
Well, they're not going to do one shot, but they're still going to do Q1, 2, Q3, but allegedly what we're hearing is that it's going to be shortened sessions. So for example, in Q3, you're only going to get a chance to set one lap.
I like that. Okay, that's good, yeah.
So because the time is restricted.
So that's almost like at the same time. It's one shot and...
It's a happy medium.
Yeah. That's good.
Because things about one shot is that I remember watching a few, like, because obviously I actually wasn't watching Formula 1 back then, but they had one shot in the early 2000s, I think like 2005.
Mm.
And the thing is, it's cool for like the first, as a novelty for like the first few, you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. But then you're watching like the Minardis and all the cars at the back and you're like, if we just get to the front, guys, you know, it gets boring watching the guys. I mean, think about it now. You're watching like Nick de Vries do a lap, Yuki Tsunoda. You're waiting for constantly to see the top guys, the ones that you want to watch in qualifying. So that's the thing about one shot that gets a little bit boring.
I like the
waiting
for the top cars. Qualifying format as well.
Exactly. People get caught out.
Traffic.
That's
the thing, because I would argue that overall actually one shot is fairer because you take away traffic.
Yeah, it is.
Take away like...
Yeah, but track conditions.
Streaming.
Track conditions.
Like, look at Kevin Magnussen.
Yeah, but they
conditions change.
Yeah, but they improve for the most part in the dry. They improve as the session goes on. So who goes last is the championship leader. So that means Max Verstappen is always going to get the best conditions and quality.
It's FP1, reverse FP1, because then you incentivize people to go quicker in FP1.
Nah, it's too confusing.
Nah, he just knows it makes sense.
And then De Vries will be like the last person to go.
But the thing is, the field spread is a lot closer now, right? So say Nick De Vries goes out first, like he's in, he got to Q2 last race. Like both AlphaTauris did. So I feel like as the field spread closes up, and say for example, the whole field is within, 7-8 tenths, mm-hmm. which I think is feasible.
It was 1.1 in Q1, it was 1.1 seconds in Bahrain, which is unreal.
And the more that tightens up, the more, ultimately, right, if you're in a car that's half a second clear of the next best car, you can afford to have a bit of a sloppy lap and still put it on pole. If the whole field is converging, there's more pressure. I mean, you look at the true meritocracy, F1 esports, the whole field spread can be in Q1, 3 tenths.
It's insane. I mean, I'm not going to pretend that I know a lot about F1 esports, but there was a screenshot someone showed of one of the qualifying sessions. I think maybe two hundredths of a second was the top 10. I was like, oh my God, these guys are on crack. I don't know how they do it, but that's crazy.
That's what a true meritocracy can achieve.
Yeah.
Right? But I just think as time goes on, maybe it will get better. But then not all the drivers are happy. Max has said that, the quote was basically, if they keep changing it, I'm off.
Yeah, paraphrasing, I'm out of here, mate.
I don't know. I think maybe you're just having a bit of a bad day and we just couldn't be arsed with it. Maybe it's
as the championship leader in the dominant car,
he slapped open iRacing and got peppered and was just like, lads, out of here. Don't like this racing shit anymore.
Although, to be fair, I think Max is the only driver where I genuinely, I could see him retiring in his early 30s. Once he's won 4 or 5, whatever, how many world championships, I think he is the type of guy that wants to do maybe IndyCar, definitely wants to do Le Mans. He's mm-hmm. definitely talked about, stuff like that. So he's the only kind of that kind of level driver I could see him retiring quite early. So with him, I don't doubt it.
Started so early as well. So even by the time he's 31, he's been in the sport for 14 years.
Exactly, it's nuts.
Lewis was 22, I think, in his debut year. Max was 17. That's 5 years different. So it's almost like you've got to look at their careers like an offset 5 years almost to get a true yes, age is a number, as we know. Fernando Alonso still doing it well into his 40s.
Yeah. Tomo still doing it almost well into his 30s as well.
I tell you what, last time I had a haircut, I looked down and there was so much grey and I was like, oh,
really?
Wow.
I'm not seeing any right now. Have you dyed
your hair? Nah, not yet. It's coming. One day. I'll get the little blonde tips. To be fair, in the sun, my hair goes blonde at the tips. Maybe not anymore. It? Maybe it'll just go grey at the tips.
Should I get frosted tips as well?
Yeah. We'll all do it, yeah?
You've seen me. I've already had blonde highlights in the summer, so it's coming back.
You love it.
if Ferrari... No,
that's not realistic, man. Whatever you're about to say.
Whatever I'm about to say, it's not going to happen anyway, so it doesn't matter.
If they get a double point score, maybe,
honestly,
If Ferrari break down?
If they go 3 weeks without some kind of foolishness, nah.
Impossible.
Well, what about, if Max doesn't like him messing around with it, what about, how do we feel about the idea of reverse grid sprints?
No, he'll be gone. He'll actually leave.
No, but ignore the tank. Would you want it? Would you like
it? I'm here. I'm here for it.
I'm not here for reverse grid.
You're too much of a purist.
No. I actually am a little bit. Do you know why? It's because you have a Formula One manufacturer's, Constructors' Championship, where you get, points for building the best car because you obviously, do well in the races. I just hate this little because you're so shit, you can go to the front, There you go. Nick De Vries, you've had a howler. Pole position for you. I don't like that in Formula One. If you build a bad car, that's your problem. That's
get
tough.
Punished.
I don't like this kind of handy down, you can go to the front. I just don't like that. So, and that's why, because I think now some of the midfield teams, the Mercedes and the Ferrari upper midfield, you've got to build a better car if you want to get back to the top. There's no easy route, and it's pure hard work through the money, through the cost cap, and so that's why I'm not a big fan of reverse grid. It gives too much.
What about F2 style? Just the top 10.
But they've got the same cars. They've got the same chassis. That's the difference.
Yeah, but if you just reverse the top 10, because then you're still
I actually still don't like that.
I think that's better.
than like completely reversing the whole thing.
Yeah, that's better, because then, yeah, because if you're AlphaTauri, you've turned up with your worst car in like 10 years and you're getting pole position. Yeah,
exactly. Like,
although then I suppose
you can't be stat padding with the worst car in the grid, like, and thinking it's legit, like, oh, look at this pole, brilliant.
Yeah, I guess the teams that just squeeze through to Q3, yeah, they'll just like, I don't know how they decide if they just don't go out.
Yeah, then you could
start getting stupid
yeah,
shit happening.
Yeah, that's the
only thing.
And one thing I've always said about both Formula 2 and Formula 3 is that, in a really simplistic way, it's almost like the school for Formula 1. So why they give their drivers so much more opportunity to race wheel to wheel, because to get kind of the roughness out, to get, you know, to become a lot more professional drivers, a lot more cleaner drivers, so that by the time you get to Formula 1, where there isn't that as much opportunity to race, there isn't as much carnage. Because I don't know if you guys watched the Formula 3 race in Australia. First time F3 has ever been to Australia.
Yeah.
A lot of young drivers. I mean, the guys in F3 are 16, 17, 18 years old.
A couple of people in that grid didn't know it was a right-hander.
It was honestly, mate. It was absolute bumper cars. It was like, oh, wait, where's the brakes? Oh, it's the left one.
Yeah.
It was absolute carnage. But that's why, when you're a young driver in Formula 3 and Formula 2, you get loads of different races. You get, you know, kind of different formats to get the roughness out, you know, to kind of sharpen your skills. So by the time you're at Formula 1, you're, you know, at your peak.
Even
so,
if you're like top tier qualifying, you're putting it on pole every week, it stops you just checking out every race. It means that you have to fight through from
Yeah,
10,
yeah, exactly.
Which I think, yeah, like you say, it's a finishing school for, you're meant to be going into F1 after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the step up. And I think we've seen, you know, broadly speaking, there's a few examples to the contrary, but I'd say broadly speaking, we've seen rookies, you know, particularly obviously like Logan and Oscar have adapted really well, I think, to F1. They've done,
yeah, they look like season pros,
except for when he actually punted De Vries in Australia.
That is certainly a big mark on his report card.
Yeah, I think he just forgot. I think there was a lot going on in front of him. There was a lot going on in front of him. He was like, oh my god, Alonso's just arm out.
No, but you know what my favorite thing about that Logan start, if you actually watch the onboard, he actually starts ahead of De Vries. He gets a shocking start. So he's actually last, and he actually backs out a little bit. So he's got he's looking at the entire field, he's got so much time to think, and he still locks up, and he's still like punts De Vries off. I just love it. Yeah. He had more time to react than anyone else. He still got it wrong. Like,
no penalty. Well done.
No penalty.
You played it blinder there.
Yeah, by the way, I posted that on Twitter, and then unfortunately got taken away by F1. I got an email saying you're going to go to jail if you post anymore.
You got an email?
From Twitter, because it was copyright content.
Oh.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, that's right. You got to tweet the video. You just got to right-click tweet the video. I thought you meant
signed Stefano email.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I got a lot of traction, by the way. I got like 12K likes. I was like, stonks.
Yeah. Did Karun reply to it?
He did, yeah.
Stonks.
And I was like, yes, I'm doing your job, Karun. I know it's not consistent.
It was Karun that actually gave you the copyright claim. Oh, he was like, you can't do this.
It actually was.
We've also got to talk about a certain, if we turn the tables back to 2008. What's Felipe Massa playing at?
Oh yeah.
What's he playing at?
He wants his title.
What's he playing at?
Yeah, so what? So obviously...
Do you want to explain, Niren, what's going on?
So I think there's revelations that the FIA kind of knew what was going down with Crashgate before the end of the season.
Which was when Nelson Piquet Jr. crashed on purpose
at Singapore to earn Fernando Alonso a win.
To appease the sponsors.
Off topic, I love when that stat keeps popping up, because F1 keeps doing these like, oh, how far back has someone won? And Fernando Alonso is always like in second place because he won that race in like 15th place.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of the comments are just like about that race. I love it.
Because he kept the win, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Pitted,
yeah.
What, lap 15, whatever it was.
Legitimate in my book.
And then PK. What, I get his comments from Bernie, and Bernie says a lot of things. That's the problem. And two of the people who knew the most, Mosley and Whiting, they're both no longer with us. So they can't, you know, extrapolate on what actually
happened,
was known and what wasn't known, because apparently Mosley's quite, I think in his autobiography, saying that Whiting had made him aware of rumours before the end of the season. But obviously if they're just rumours and you can't...
And also keep in mind, like, yeah, they kind of knew about the rumours beforehand, but you know, in Formula One, like, there's got to be a fair, like, almost trial process, because that's what happened in 2009. Like, they took evidence from the team, they did, like, you know, their judgment, and then they found out that they did, you know, fix that race. So you couldn't have sorted that before 2008. So it's one of those weird things that's just come up out of nowhere. The fact that Felipe Massa's just gone, yeah, I'll sue them now, maybe, you know, we'll see what's up. He has said that it's not for, like, monetary, he's not trying to get money out of it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everyone's now, oh, you know, Lewis, like, a six-time world champion, and some people are going, well, surely they should just be disqualified. What does that have to do with Lewis? So it's just this weird kind of thing that's come out of nowhere, I mean, just years later, which is just a bit odd.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, because if you go down the whole route of like, oh yeah, Felipe should win the title, then there was other things like during that season that like kept Lewis, that held Lewis back, for example. You could go, oh, Lewis shouldn't have got that penalty. Was it Belgium?
Yeah.
With Raikkonen.
Yeah, that's really
and it's
soft.
Like, well, really so soft. Where do you draw the line? Like, we could just go forever, like, sort of.
And also, I don't know if I'm right, wasn't it that race, Singapore 2008, where Felipe was, like, refueling and then Ferrari, like, botched the pit stop and it was, like, a massive fuel fire?
That's the whole reason. Felipe probably should have won that race.
Yeah.
And then the lights were faulty, so the lights told him to go out when the fuel hose was still attached.
Yeah.
Now, look, that's a team like that. These things happen. Like
it's Ferrari no,
it's
as well.
Ferrari. So exactly.
the heritage of Ferrari.
15 years ago, 15 years, and it's the same shit. Like, and that's the thing, right? You could, I think, the fairest way would be to disqualify the Renaults because you know they were the ones culpable. Yes, you can say, well, that had changed everyone else's race, but that wasn't even the last race of the season. There was still, I think, at least two rounds after that.
Yeah, because the argument would then be, okay, you disqualify the even if you know this, even if somehow this was like right to disqualify the Renaults, then you'd move everyone up in the points in that race.
Yeah, and Lewis would have won by even more.
Yeah, exactly. I think he'd
won by 3 points instead of one.
Exactly. So it's one of the weird. Yeah, people would just want to like disqualify that entire race. It's exactly
that doesn't make any sense. Like disqualifying, like, taking the whole race result away just makes no sense.
But also, like,
it still happened.
Let's just say they did it, right? Let's just say they gave. Not only does that open a precedent for what about like Damon Hill, Michael Schumacher, 1994, whenever that was.
Yeah,
there's so many examples where
everyone's just going to start suing everyone.
Like, to overturning, like,
make Prost the 5-time world champion now.
Sometimes you just have to like take it for what it is. Because also, like, if they gave it to Felipe, like, I don't know, would it like, surely it just, I don't know, wouldn't
I mean,
it
feel never.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The problem is it would bring your own sport into disrepute. It'd be like, it would make a joke out of the sport anyway. So it's just one of those, he clearly sees a legal angle to try it.
I completely understand.
He wants to make a point, that's why.
But these things happen, like the Thierry Henry handball against Ireland. I always bring that one up.
That's more of a...
That was egregious.
If I was Ireland right now, I would sue for that. I would see this whole thing.
and also, making comparisons like Abu Dhabi 21. Well, Abu Dhabi 21, that was... nothing to do with the drivers. That was a stewarding, refereeing decision.
Sue Michael Massey. Everyone sue everyone. That's it.
Apparently, the rumors is he signed a non-disclosure. So he's literally legally not allowed to talk about Abu Dhabi 2021.
Really?
Time stamp on that. We'll get the autobiography one day.
Exactly.
We're getting him on the show.
Mate, statue of limitations on that.
Easy
NDA.
Money for Michael. Once
we're getting him on the last lap. And he will talk about it. I will ensure that he talks about it.
We'll make him. We'll lull him into a full security.
Yeah. That's gonna be a big bag for him to come through, though.
It's all right, Michael. We're just going to talk about boom Abu Dhabi 2021.
We'll get Minton to kind of soften him up.
Yeah.
Hey, you're a good boy, yeah. Look at him, he's just sounder. You wouldn't even know.
He's always about Grand Prix. Just like tell him a story about WWE 21, and then he'll just tell the whole story to me.
He was there as well, obviously in Australia, so that was quiet. There was, to be fair, there was some really lame people that literally like went on with their phones, like with like a selfie and asked him about it, like to his face, which was like, so, I was watching, I was cringing so
I hate
much.
People do. Have you heard that? Like, people been turned up at Charles' house.
Yeah,
like, really,
absolutely.
Like, some people just piss me off, man. Like, what is wrong with you?
Like kind of, for people not, that like, don't know, actually.
Were you not brought up with like
manners.
Values?
Yeah, manners.
For people that don't know, basically, he put out a story saying that obviously somehow his address got leaked, which I mean, Monaco is literally like one, the second smallest country in the world. So, and he's obviously a prominent figure. So his address got leaked, and apparently there's like fans, in, you know, in air quotes, like basically were like ringing his door, asking him for like pictures and autographs, which is just, to me, that is unbelievable. Like, go and touch some grass outside of Monaco. Do you know what I mean? Because
not his front garden.
That's nothing. The thing is, loads of people. Do you know what? Loads of people. Obviously, you know, you had like the entire Twitter saying, "Oh, that's DTS fans," you know, stuff like that. But that has nothing to do with the sport.
No, that's
not even a sport thing. That is just a personal thing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want someone turning up, you know, to my mum's flat's door. You know, I don't know Monaco, unfortunately, but to get my picture. But like, could you imagine that happening at your door like that? It would be just crazy.
It's just like the biggest possible breach of privacy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it is literally where...
That's your safe space.
Yeah, it's your safe space. Like, I think... And then people... But I think
it's borderline stalking, by the way, as well.
Yeah, it is literally stalking. Like, and people who have been to his house to go and get a picture will then go, "Oh, you don't care about your fans." No, you must be sick, bruv. That's, you must be out of your mind. I know that's the reaction of certain people.
You didn't let me into your front. You didn't let me into your house, and you didn't
what
let me
into
your picture.
What are you talking about? It's his house. Go to a fucking Grand Prix and get a picture with him or something. What are you talking about?
And also, Charles, what makes it even worse is loads of people know, like, Charles is one of the best with fans. He always gives his time to Grand Prix. He always takes a picture. Like, he's absolute content. I love Charles. So it's just one of those frustrating things. And obviously, it's people need to separate the whole Formula One thing. This is pure like harassment and stalking from, like, again, fans who are just mental.
Well, this is, like, don't go to people's house. Actually, well, no, you might have been invited. Don't go to people's house unless you've been invited.
Obviously. you wouldn't think you'd need to make that clear.
Yeah, yeah. Realistically, that shouldn't be.
Yes, these drivers have very incredibly privileged lifestyles, right? They multimillionaires, they live in Monaco, blah, 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 right? But if anything, like, that makes the privacy of your own home even more important because you know, like, he's going to get spotted all the time. He's Charles Leclerc walking around Monaco. He's like the home.
I mean, he drives in
hero.
A one of one like Ferrari Pista around Monaco,
and
like,
chases people who steal his watches as well.
That
you see that?
Nuts. Yeah, what? Yeah.
Did you not see that?
What's this?
Oh, it's crazy. So there was so this was last year. I think he had a watch stolen or something like that.
Mm.
And there's CCTV footage that's only emerged now for some reason.
He like liked it because the Monaco like local police, I think, shared on Twitter and he liked it.
And it's pictures of him like racing in his Pista, like chasing the people. I think. Like, who stole his watch?
Or like trying to find them.
He's trying to find them. It was just crazy. I mean, I was like, what is going on here?
Did he get it back?
No. Definitely not. I mean, I'm not being funny.
What would he have done if he'd actually have...
Charles is not a fighter, man.
He's not a
I can't imagine him scrapping.
He's a great driver, but, you know, he's not got that dog in him in a fist of his fight.
Who's got the best scrap on him?
I was literally about to ask.
Lewis is a black belt. I mean, so...
Oh, really?
Lewis would fuck you up. Yeah, he would. Yeah. He would.
Okay.
The thing is, do you know what?
I feel like Lewis has every skill imaginable.
It's unreal.
Lewis is very measured, so I don't think it'd get to that stage.
Yeah.
Self-defense, he'd fuck you up, but I don't think...
I mean, he's got a peace sign on his merch. Like, how do you see through? Do you know what? I'll take my chances on Ocon, because he might be 6 foot five,
range.
You know, 6'7"
range.
Five,
yeah.
But he is... I mean, I could dodge him easy.
Max Verstappen was a bold man to start fighting him in Brazil.
Yeah.
He's massive.
Alonso's got a samurai on his back, so I'm not messing with that.
Oh, yeah, Fernando. And Fernando's neck as well. I mean, Fernando's neck's got its own gravitation.
Have you seen that picture? Like, in 2021, when he was like coming back, there's that picture that everyone, like, I think, has seen of him like working out, and his neck is just like bulging out.
You would actually punch him, like, and his just head just wouldn't move because his neck is just so stable. It's like a tree trunk.
Yeah.
It's just like no movement at all.
These like people, they're just driving circles. Nah, you've got to be an athlete now. You've got to be like on it. Like
we saw Nick DeVries. He couldn't even get out. He did. Yeah. I mean, and Nick DeVries is one of the most experienced kind of drivers, you know. Last year, he'd driven so many different, like, in so many different racing series, so many different cars. He had one race in Formula One, that Williams, you know, race in Monza. He couldn't even get out of the car. Mm. He couldn't get out of the car by the end. Like, that's how shattered he was. So I don't think people realize you need to go, like, even karting for like half an hour, you would be dead.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm just imagining George Russell in a fight.
he'd break up. You know, you got that mate who always breaks up the fights.
Calm it down, lads. Calm it down.
Yeah, yeah. You need your Russell there.
Crikey, mate.
To stop you putting yourself in jail for the night.
You need
that friend.
Crikey, like, violence is not the way. That's what I'd imagine he'd say.
Yeah. He'd say blimey. Call blimey.
Call
it a dad.
Chill out.
Blimey, lads. Fucking hell.
There's one other statement I wanted to get into as well. And then we're going to go quickly wrap through driver ratings because we've had three races this year. So I want to go through each driver and give them a rating. Yeah, but did want to mention there's Fred Vasseur's been
been having a little moan up about the Red Bull penalty for their overspend.
Right.
Saying it wasn't enough.
Yep.
Now...
You're not enough.
My first question... Would it's a yes or no? Would he be doing that if Ferrari won the first two out of three races of the season?
It's a no from me.
No, exactly. It's just it's sour grapes. You know, like he's obviously 400k. Like when you look at the because that's what the overspend I think essentially was
without the HMRC stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Meaningful overspend.
Exactly. It was. I think it was 440k or something. When you look at the gap Red Bull have over everyone else. Now, by the way, that doesn't excuse it. Let me just like clarify that was wrong by Red Bull. I think they got off actually a bit lightly. They were messing around during the first year of the cost cap, which collapses. You know, the entire point of the sport, but. The gap that we're seeing now is not 400k's worth of like overspend, you know what I mean? So it's purely that Ferrari are struggling. Their drivers are having a howler. Their car is clearly the ceiling of where their car is. Like even if they do develop it more, it is nowhere near the Red Bull. So they're just frustrated, I think, more than anything else.
I think also as well, just we saw Red Bull start to take off towards the end of last year anyway. So second half of last year, did I say Red Bull or Ferrari just then?
Red Bull.
Okay, cool.
Red Bull.
Yeah, the Red Bull, I mean, Belgium, for example, like the Red Bull has been dominant now for a hot minute anyway.
Yeah, it's been dominant
for the last season.
Yeah.
It's not like we arrived just after the break of the cost cap and then suddenly Red Bull are amazing.
Yeah.
Like they've just had that advantage anyway, whether they've overspent or not.
Well, I think part of it is maybe the Ferraris had to turn their engines down. I don't know if that was confirmed, but there's been a lot of rumours that Ferraris, not just...
But I thought the whole reliability, like they throughout the off-season, they were actually post, like they were talking like their reliability up, like we've sorted everything from last year so that they don't
this
have to turn
This is what Ferrari do
around.
At us. They talk a big game, but do they deliver the goods?
No.
They've not got next day delivery.
No.
Crazy.
They need to invest in Prime, didn't they? Yeah. Really?
Invest in Prime. I'll invest in Prime. It's a good energy drink.
Yeah. Get on it early doors.
We could get, again, we need a sponsor down here. Just get Prime.
What do you think, just to reiterate, and I guess, look, ultimately, it's all well and good for Fred moaning, but that penalty's been in place since, what, October last year. That's not, this car that's racing now would have already been finished by that point. So, you know, that car would have already been signed off and pretty much been designed. Like,
it's an evolution as well.
Yeah, so to take to, like, we're not going to see the punishment from this penalty for a while. So I don't really see the point in Fred saying what he's saying. Because we can't measure it really yet.
It's because Red Bull are doing so well. So, I mean, what would you, if we were to measure, what would be a kind of, at what point would you think, okay, the impact is there now? We can see that Red Bull being like pegged back a little bit. What if they're
end of this season?
If they're not dominating by 20 seconds but winning a race by 5 seconds, then we say, oh, you know, that's that cost cap kind of penalty coming through. Because their advantage is so big, it's not just the cost cap, and that's why I feel like all
Which
of
they deserve
teams
credit
are just
for
fine.
Again. Because you look at the rest of the field, the whole field spread when you take away Red Bull from top from P2 to P10 is like actually pretty mad close.
Yeah.
Like, and you just gotta give credit to Red Bull for like just pushing the envelope, and yes, they overspent, but did they get, is that where that's 400, 500 grand, whatever it is not, it's not generated all this performance in reality, but I agree that they should have been punished. I think they should have had their ATR halved personally, because I think it's not just about punishing, it's not just punishment for fitting the crime.
ATR.
Take it.
No, just divide it.
No development at all.
Minus
mate.
Development.
Yeah, you got to take parts off the car.
You got to demolish your wind tunnel.
Yeah,
just like, complete delete.
Drive an AlphaTauri for a year. Yeah. That's what you get.
Yeah, just swap the cars, swap the paint jobs. Imagine if they did that, just low key for one race. They just swap the paint jobs.
Yeah.
Like, hang on, that AlphaTauri looks different. Oh my God, it's so quick.
Oh my God.
Come on, Yuki.
God, Yuki's going to win the championship. I'm buzzing. DeVries still P6.
But I think it's that, but it's also just punishing them so much that no one even contemplates going close to this, because I don't want to be talking about cost cap again in October.
Yeah, there's again, to reiterate, there's two different things. Vasseur is, I think, totally right in terms of like it wasn't enough in my opinion, and they got away quite lightly. But at the same time, that doesn't justify Ferrari being bad.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, facts.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Facts.
Right. Driver ratings.
To do quick fire, like, boom.
5 minute driver ratings.
Number blam.
That is got a start at the back. Nick De Vries, what we're giving him? Out of 10.
Out of 10. I'm going to go 4 out of 10.
Yeah, 4.
So far.
I hear it. Not at the moment.
3.
Sonoda,
I'm giving him 3.
Oh,
given his experience, I expected more.
I expected him to hit the ground running, to be honest. I'm not saying I was expecting, you know, especially with the car, I wasn't expecting him to score points, but I thought he would be a lot.
He's
closer
not a rookie,
to
rookie, is he?
He's not a rookie, rookie.
I'm only willing to give him a four just because Sargent wiped him out of Australia, but he was at the back anyway. So.
And the team kind of shafted him in Jeddah as well because like he missed. He was the only driver to never drive that track either in Formula One or Formula Two, and the team had reliability issues in Jeddah, so he got no run at all. But at the same time, he's found himself like in Australia. Why was he at the back? So it's a bit of the team and a bit of him as well.
Tsunoda? Yeah.
I'm going to give him a six, actually. About a six or a seven.
Seven.
Yeah, you're right. She's seven. I know, yeah.
When six
I
said six and a half.
He's been good.
Six and a half. I'm just harsh. Actually, no, seven, because I like him.
No,
I was
going to say.
His vibes.
Just
vibes.
P11, P11, P10. He was on the cusp of points.
Yeah, true. Yeah, definitely a seven.
He's done a really good job. I don't think outstanding yet, because it's difficult to benchmark him with Pierre Gasly now gone. Like, maybe he's actually having a howler. Maybe that car's actually like the third best car in the grid.
Nah, it's not. I've seen the
No shot.
But I think P11, P11, P10, that's a good start to the season. And also, more for Yuki, he's kept it clean. No incidents, no silly driving into the barrier out of the pits or, you know, driving into De Vries.
Foolishness.
It's one of them, the points aren't going to tell the full story when you're only giving points to the top 10 and you finish P11 twice.
Yeah, it's harsh.
Yeah. Sergeant?
I'd say, honestly, a six. I would have given him a seven if it wasn't for the Australian incident. I was actually really impressed with him in Bahrain.
Six. Like,
for a debut starting on Williams, I genuinely think he's matched album
for the first three races, though. I'm gonna give him a five. I think he's been okay, exactly 5 out of 10, because he had a great, I think he had a great race in Bahrain. Like that opening lap, I don't know if you guys saw, was amazing, but then he bottled it in quali in Jeddah as well. Like, I think he crashed a little bit, made a mistake,
but that was so unlucky. He actually outqualified
but he had another lap. That's Formula
One.
He
did have another lap,
I think he had two laps afterwards.
But as a rookie to go quicker in dry conditions than Alex Albon. Like Latifi,
would have been through to Q2. I know it's a lot of ifs and buts, but I think
he's been bad. I think 5 out of 10. He's been good. He's been solid. 5 out of 10. That's kind of where
it's like rookie ironing out mistakes.
Yeah, for sure.
Really,
Albon.
If it wasn't for Australia, I'd probably give him an 8 or 9. But
did
I'm
you
gonna
see
go
James
seven.
James Vowell's breakdown? Actually, of the incident,
I did.
Really interesting.
I can't believe that's good. I think I actually
tire temperatures and how it kind of the. It was set off earlier, basically.
Because he actually went around that corner slower than he did the previous lap, and that's what kind of, I think, dropped the tyre temps, because he went on the grass a little bit. But had it not been for Australia, where I think he would have been in the points, no doubt.
Seven.
He's a bit of an Australian. I think seven is about right, but he's been really good. I'm happy to see Alex, because we had these talks at the end of, I think, 2021. Like, there was pressure on him to be that number one driver in 2022. Mm-hmm. He's delivered. Like, he's really been great.
Definitely. Okay, Mac?
Do you know what? Like, I'm actually going to go only five. Like, he's, I know he scored
one
points in Jeddah, but his
band lower than that.
The quality gap between him and Hulk has been a bit worrying.
Three.
And then he binned it as well.
I think maybe, Australia somewhat saves him. I'm saying four. Disappoint him.
What do you mean saves him? You binned it. Don't you remember?
Oh no, sorry, I was talking about Jeddah.
Is that him snoring, by the way?
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was unbelievable. He's bored.
That was him saying a three.
Minton says three.
Maybe a three, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Expectations.
Hülkenberg coming back in. I mean, look, listen, I'm sorry, Hülkenberg. Yeah, I'll sign the apology letter. Yeah, I was leading the ship against him. Do you know what I mean? I was captain.
Captain,
I am
of the
captain
Armada.
Now. Yeah.
No more though. Then Matt Amos. When are we going to see him though?
Yes.
He was slating Hülkenberg last year. Get him on the show.
If Hülkenberg come back and be beat.
Well, where are we saying Hulk then?
I think Hulk has been. Honestly, I think he's been an eight. Like, he's been really good. He's actually exceeded my expectations. He's
because of the time off as well.
Because of
the time
off.
Out of a full-time seat.
And also the quality gap to his teammate. It's difficult to know where that car is, but the quality gap in just, I know three races is not a lot, but he is, I think he's like six tenths quicker than K-Mag. And then also got a little bit.
That's mad.
He got a little bit unlucky, I think, in that first race.
Very unlucky.
So I think for what, and had the lap stood, you know, the whole like Australia, you know, they went on countback and Sainz still got his penalty, he would have been on the podium. So it's just these little margins in rules, eight. I think. So I'm going to go, I'm going to go eight, which might be a bit too much, but.
That's fair. Yeah. I'm going to go 7.5 just purely because I have to keep my agenda.
But there you go.
Other than that, like,
agenda.
Loyal to your agenda.
Loyalty over agenda.
Agenda over facts.
Yeah,
I love it.
Always got to be agenda over facts.
I respect it.
Valtteri Bottas.
He's had a howler.
Very good first race.
Do you know what's not? Yeah, he was unreal in that first race.
Forgotten the first race.
Bahrain, PA.
So
Joe.
That definitely balances it out, but I'm going to go 4 out of 10 because the last two races, what has happened to him?
Surely it was damage at Jeddah. Because he was like,
in a different, he was driving that two car.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they said there was. I think he's just unhappy with the car, unhappy with the balance. He was talking after Australia.
Yeah.
If there's no damage, then yeah, it's four.
Yeah, four.
If there's damage, then it's five.
Joe?
I think, again, nothing stunning. I think maybe a five or a six. I'm going to go six because I think he, in qualifying, he's really stepped it up against Valtteri, but no more than a six, I think. It's difficult to gauge Alfa Romeo, like where that car is. I think no one is talking about.
I think
Mahadu, who've had on the show, he tweeted, like, no one is talking about Alfa Romeo. They can be like absolute, they can have stinkers and no one even notices.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I'm going to go six for Joe, but it's difficult to know where that car is.
Yeah, I'll say six.
It's a howl of that car's...
It was like so good this time last year.
Yeah, it looks all right.
I think it's because they were at the weight limit and then they couldn't add performance by taking weight away. Everyone else could. And I just think they've just been left behind because they can't add over to that car somehow. Okay, Piastri.
Oh, it's so difficult.
I mean, he's been so unlucky.
The first two races are just a write-off.
I'd say six. I think he's done well, like, relative to Lando.
Yeah, I think six is about... I think he has...
Jeddah qualifying, for example, was top quality.
Lando's already said that Oscar's pushing him harder than he's been pushed for a while.
Yeah. Wouldn't have that if it was Daniel Ricciardo, by the way.
Daniel Ricciardo crying in a corner somewhere.
Maybe he's talking about Carlos. Who knows? As well. Maybe.
Also, that's a lie. Like, it's blatantly a lie because I'm not saying science had, like, Lando in his pocket because that'd be totally lie over, you know, over exaggerating it, but science was the stronger driver.
Well, maybe that's what he's referring to. Maybe he's referring to the science era.
Maybe, yeah. I'm going to go six because I feel like it was so, the first two races are total write-offs. Q3, to get into Q3 in Jeddah, I think
impressive.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
And just to keep it clean in his home race, a lot of pressure to be an Australian at your home race, you know, during your rookie season. So it's, he's not been spectacular, but he's actually surprised me with how good he's been.
Yeah, I'm probably going to, I'll say 6.5. I think, the qualifying was really impressive.
No one can take the number you've just took. We need to. Everyone's just going to go the same.
Lando.
Got three minutes for us.
Okay, to me, Lando's a seven. He had a howler in Jeddah in qualifying, which is the first, like, bad race and bad, like, weekend I've seen from Lando for a while.
I'd say seven.
Yeah, there was, like, his own error as well.
He really made up for it in Australia, so seven.
Seven. Yeah, fair.
Seven.
Ocon?
Not great.
I'm gonna go five. Yeah. Right, he's been good. Nothing more.
Yeah, it's bang average. Gasly.
Oh, if it hadn't been
six, but you can't be six because you can't. You cannot be slapping it into your own teammate like
that.
It'd
be a seven if it wasn't for the shunt. I think
I know he made up for it, but he qualified last in Bahrain. I'm gonna go.
Well, he qualified last in Bahrain, but didn't make it back to get points. So it was a good comeback.
I think he did. Yeah, he did. I think he got into 10th, so he got like 1 point. I'm going to go five for Gasly, but maybe that's a bit harsh.
Science.
Forgot he was even on the grid.
Same. That's harsh.
Maybe four. Four or five, isn't it?
I mean, he took Alonso out. That could have been a big chance for potentially.
Yeah, four. He's just looked off it, hasn't he? He's looked off. Looked off his game relative to Shaw.
It is. Because it was his own error as well.
Yeah.
He goes from like fighting for a podium
just been
to out
the
of
pace
points.
Relative to, it's just been slower.
Yeah.
Charles?
I'm going to go seven. I think
worldie of a quality.
Charles
in
really
Saudi.
Hard to judge in it. Cause
and I think Bahrain as well. Was he not on, was
I'm
he,
give
I
him
think
an eight.
Third?
I think Charles been really good. I think considering.
He's been unlucky.
I think that Australia thing was just a silly little error. Yeah. I'm not saying it's massively a score, but 7 out of 10 I'm going to go.
First lap sort
I think
of
I think he's driven really well though. I think that he was unlucky
I think he probably would have grabbed the podium in Bahrain.
And also I should keep in mind, because Bahrain he got that reliability issue as well, so... Yeah,
I'm giving him eight.
I think he would have been clear of Alonso. I don't think Alonso would have caught him in Bahrain. So yeah, I'm probably going to go for an eight.
Hamilton?
I think eight. I think he's been, in qualifying, he's definitely took a different kind of approach this weekend where he's a lot more about the races. He's dropped off a little bit in qualifying.
Yep.
No doubt about where we're usually used to seeing Lewis, you know, slap up his teammates in quali, but I think George has out-qualified him in every single, you know, session so far. Yep. But in the races, he's right there. You know, he's still right there in the races, which you see that experience, that championship winning experience.
I think I'll give them both an eight.
Well, him and Russell.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Russell an eight as well. I think he got really unlucky in Australia in terms of that reliability issue. Yeah. I think he would have been right up there.
We're doing a big driver bias, by the way, here. We didn't give anyone an eight down the order.
Yeah. But they're at the front for a reason. Well,
yeah, but they're
okay, not the front. Yeah. But towards the front for a reason. But I think they've been good. I think they're so solid, them two. Stroll.
I
Expectations make me want to give him an 8, but I'm going to give him a 7.
I'm going to give him a 7. It's different, seven again with the whole hand thing. Like, Baku is going to be the first time where I think he's going to be kind of back to his best. So you've got to take that into account. But at the same time, he's driving a really good car, but he's been really solid. Don't get me wrong. So I think 7 is actually really good for Stroll. I think he's only going to get better actually.
Well, yeah, because he did well at Jeddah, but then obviously broke down. That's completely out of his control. That. He got lucky in Australia. The little bottle job, and he got very not good. Yeah,
don't think that we didn't see that.
That was the old Stroll coming back there for a hot second.
The brake pedal is on the left.
Yeah. Oh shit, mate. We'll give him.
I'm going to go 7. Yeah.
7.5.
Okay.
Still generous.
Fernando.
I'm going to go 9 for Fernando.
Yeah,
I feel like
I think
he just misses out because of Australia. I think, you know, him and Lewis had a very similar car, but Lewis was able to stay ahead and match him on pace. So I'm going to go a 9, but he's been, you know, as close to perfect as you can get.
Three P3s. Boom. 9.
3 podiums, man, in that little Aston Martin. Cute. Or Fernando. What a man.
Little green.
What are you guys going with, though? I'm going to go 9.
Yeah, I'm 9.
Yeah, 9. I think 9.1.
Very good.
I have to be different.
She'd have done it out of 100, shouldn't we? 91 out of 100. Perez.
I'm going to go 8, which might be a bit kind of. He did come home P2 in Bahrain. He completed that 1-2. He was quite far off Max. He did the job that he needed to do in Jeddah. I know Max was kind of out of the picture, but then that crash, I think, really like. And I was not impressed by his recovery drive. Only get up to P6 or P5 in the end.
Yeah,
I actually expected
with a
bit
lot
better.
Of carnage as
with
well.
A lot of carnage with the field closing up because of the restart. So
I'm going to give him an 8 as well. I think all in all,
I'm
like,
giving him a 7.
He was very unlucky in qualifying. I'm sure that was a car issue. I believe that was a car issue.
Yeah, it was a brake issue, wasn't it?
So like the car was just dragging, like going forward.
I don't know. Australia isn't the easiest place to pass. It wasn't the greatest recovery.
Yeah, I just expected DRS a little bit more.
Yeah,
especially with that like the DRS handicap that the Red Bull has.
Yeah, got slapped in Bahrain as well. So.
In the Supermax?
10.1, isn't it?
Has it been a 10? I don't think it's been a 10.
Nah.
I mean, literally the only mistake he's made is when the car bottled it and broke down in Jeddah. If we're being realistic, he qualifies on pole for every single race and he wins every single race. Had it not been for his car letting him down in Jeddah.
Yeah.
Okay, true. Fair
enough. Yeah, I think it's probably a 10, isn't it?
Okay. No, 9.5.
Okay.
Okay. He went on the grass
in Australia.
Yeah.
All right. 9.9.
Not punished, but he went on the grass.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. He should have fixed the car.
It's because he had a 30-second lead. Like, that's why he wasn't punished.
He could. Right. Let's wrap it, boys. Thank you all for watching. Appreciate you taking the time, Aldas. Thank you for coming, mate.
I took the bus for the first time in 3 years. Oh. It was a journey.
3 years.
Oh, bus is great. I love a bus. What can they find us, Niren?
So if you are listening on Spotify, then please do feel free to give us a 5-star rating. It really helps us out. Other audio platforms are available. If you're watching on YouTube, then feel free to like and subscribe, turn notifications on. You can also view on Pets at Home.
His favorite place.
You can view there, and also on an old Panasonic TV from 1999. You can view us there too as well.
Couldn't have wrapped it up better myself.
Easy.
Cheers, everyone. See you next time.
In a bit, lads.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.